have a genealogy book here that was put together. My dad is Amos K. His father is Amos. He's the son of Joseph. What my objective is this time is, since I think a lot of you know more Adeline as she marries into the Gilbert Belknap family, I'm going to go back to when she was a little girl and give you what life was like for Adeline as a little girl, which shapes her so when she marries Gilbert, you can see where she's coming from and how she is the strong woman that she is and have these children. Even reflected, you see the things I talk about, you can see why she names her children, which you all said from. Okay. First of all, Adeline was born her parents were Vincent Knight. Has anybody heard of Vincent Knight? You're going to hear about him. And his wife was called Martha McBride Knight. They lived in New York. They were a very young couple, in their 20s, I would imagine. And they had a knock on their door. At this time, the year was 1834. Did you know the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was established by Joseph Smith in the year 1830? After he established the church, he was able to establish the church because he was able to publish the book of Mormon. And after that time, missionaries went out all over talking about the church. At this time, Joseph Smith also went out on missions. And in the year 1834, on March 21st, Joseph Smith himself and his companion, Parley P. Pratt, knocked on their door. They had heard of Joseph Smith, and there was quite a furor in town, but they did listen to him. And in the spring of 1834, Martha McBride Knight and Vincent Knight were baptized into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This was the beginning of it all for any of you that are members of the church here. Adeline would have been a girl about 3 years old when this happened, so she was listening to this. As time goes on, Joseph asked the saints in New York to gather in Kirtland, Ohio. Vincent and his wife were affluent, and they were able to go in a wagon at that time and were a lot more prosperous and were able to donate and help the kingdom grow at this period of her time. Once they got to Kirtland, many things happened as she was a little girl. I have here in this book they get to Kirtland, and they are friends with Joseph and Emma. And they are friends with Noel K. Whitney, who had the store there. As they're there, you're going to hear a little story. Well, you're going to hear a little story in here about how they're building the Kirtland Temple. And Joseph has a lot of confidence in Vincent, Adeline's father. And he asks Vincent to be the keeper of the keys of the Kirtland Temple. And there's just a little sentence here about how they talk about how when there was an apostate going on in Kirtland, and how Vincent carries him out of the temple. And that's all that's in our books, but I thought I'd just quote a little bit from the history of Vincent, and you're going to hear a little bit more about that. But I also want to talk about, I get a little confused here. I've written down things. We're in the year 1834. In 1835, as they arrive in Kirtland, Adeline's mother and father, Vincent and Martha, have their patriarchal blessings, and I have those. And those were given to him by Joseph's father, who was the patriarch of the church, Joseph Smith Sr. And there's some wonderful things about in those patriarchal blessings and where they are. At that time, in January 13th of 1836, Joseph Smith, by revelation, called Vincent Knight to be a counselor to Newell K. Whitney. And 2 weeks later, the Kirtland Temple was not yet completed. But there was a special room there that Joseph asked the Council of the Twelve, both sets of bishoprics, to, and he received a very important revelation. If you look in your scriptures in Doctrine and Covenants 137, that passage of Revelation, he sees Alvin, and he wonders why Alvin is in the celestial kingdom, and comes with the revelation that those that Alvin died as a young boy. Those that weren't able to accept the gospel at that time, they could hear it in paradise and accept the gospel. Okay, why is that key? Because remember, fast forward, this is now Adeline is a little girl, but her father is coming back from a meeting in the temple as a counselor in the bishopric, where there were some of the people in that room actually saw the face of Jesus Christ there and received anointings by the hand of Joseph Smith. One of those was her father. He comes home and tells all that to the family. She's a little girl getting a testimony of Joseph Smith and knowing about paradise. Why is that important? Because fast forward a long time and she loses her little John McBride 2 weeks into their trip. And you wonder, how was she so strong? Well, it all stems back to some of these times for her in Kirtland. At that very time, Joseph Smith laid his hands on Vincent and gave him the gift of prophecy. Later we find out that John Taylor speaks that he lived to see a lot of the prophecies made by Vincent Knight, because many people had the gift of prophecy fulfilled. So anyway, now we're there, and now you hear a lot of things about how there was trouble with the money systems and that in Kirtland, and there became a lot of people who were not loyal to Joseph Smith. But Vincent was, and this starts the little story about him and the apostates in the temple. Oh, what state of affairs now existed in Kirtland, Adeline's little girl. What had the evil powers been doing? One after another had apostatized until the whole church was in commotion. Apostles had united with outsiders and undertook to overthrow the church and denounce Joseph Smith as a fallen prophet. Brigham Young was true to Joseph and declared by all the powers of the Holy Ghost that Joseph Smith was still the true prophet. Do you remember that true church story? The one that stood up for him was Brigham Young. But he lost control of affairs and was forced to go away and leave them. Some few had placed themselves at the head of the new church, declaring themselves to be in the right, and that they owned the whole church, including the temple. During one of the meetings when Joseph Smith was trying to preside, one of this class of men who was standing in the back of the room became excited and declared that he would put Joseph Smith out of the temple. The aisles being full of people, he stepped from the back of the benches, this being Vincent Knight, and started for the stand. Those of you that have been to Kirtland Temple, you know that you can just visualize the whole setup there. Stepping from the back of one bench to another between the heads of the people, Brother Joseph, equal to the occasion, remained calm. Turning to Brother Knight, who was Adeline's dad, he says, "Brother Knight, take this man out." Quick as a thought, Vincent caught the man by the legs and tossed his head downward over his shoulder and carried him struggling and bawling out of the building. Brother Knight's children always remember this occasion, and that is the story that is in here where they talk about she remembers her father tossing the apostate out and his coat being torn. So anyway, she's in Kirtland, and it says in our books there that she remembers the apostates being burned and their crops and things like that, and they're forced into Far West. The Knight family, which would be her, she's born in 31. The Knight family arrived with others at Far West Missouri sometime in June and were sent direct to a new location 25 miles north. On June 28, her daddy was appointed bishop to preside over Adam on Zion. They bought a farm from Adam Lack, the justice of the peace, and gave part of their payment of the same. They had some happy times there, but then, as you know, a lot of things went wrong. And he's the bishop, and this shows to her character. They were being forced out, and they had a timeline, and it says, So remember I just said he was the bishop. So Bishop Fitzit Knight had no time to lose. Just 10 days and not half enough time left to move the people in his ward. They got word that they should, they had to flee. Bishop Knight was forced in 4 weeks to gather the remains of their crops. He went into a disguise, for everyone who appeared to be a leader was taken away by the mob. It was hard for Vincent's wife to see their crops destroyed and their cows driven out to feed the hungry mob, while their own family went hungry, being at one. And now they were forced to leave a comfortable home with their little children right at the beginning of winter and live where they knew not. But her faith in God, They gathered their clothing and their bedding, and they were ready to go. Her husband was on the road helping others, and he sent one brother Fisk after them. And then Adeline was the first to recognize her father in disguise. She also remembers the mud and the rain and the ride of 25 miles under a quilt. And so then they're there, and at this time, Hans Mill is burned. Okay, why I mentioned this little story in her life is later on, as a woman in Ogden, I don't know where she was, to tell you the truth. Anyway, the crickets come through, and here's a woman who, she's not that young, she's in her 20s. She's just built all of her crops in the little things. It says they're about an inch high, and the crickets come and eat all of her crops, and she feels herself down on the ground, and she starts to cry. And she picks herself up after a little cry, and she starts to plant again and go on. Because this has happened to her in her life, and she saw her dad and her mother recover from these things and continue on. She was there at Hans Mill, and she knew those kinds of things happened. And that goes into another little part. One thing that happened after Hans Mill is there were a lot of single women that needed help, because they were starting their exodus out. Vincent Knight was asked to take a wife and help her, and she was one of the widows that had been burned out and would take fruits and vegetables over to her and help her. Why does that have to do with Adeline? Because later on in Adeline's life, her husband would be asked to take a second wife, and she had her mother there to counsel with her and talk to her, and example of a lot of those faithful saints. So some of the times, we see that in her later life, you go right back to her childhood and see where she kind of gets all of her strength. At this time of confusion, many people did not stand with the prophet. Now, I was wondering about Adeline's parents. Did they stand with him or did they kind of go off? And he did. Brother Joseph, who had been in prison in Missouri on false charges, was now with them again. He heard of a chance to get land in Illinois, and he, with Brother Ripley and Adeline's daddy, Vincent Knight, were chosen as a committee to go in and select a new town site. The town site that they chose was Nauvoo. And so now they're going to pick up again, and they're fleeing to Nauvoo. Now she's about a girl of 8 years old. They are building a house, a brick house in Nauvoo, and it is right on the same area as Joseph's. And so it is not unlikely that Joseph is in their home all the time. Vincent Knight, your daddy, is one of the bishops there, so they have a lot of things to do. They're building the Nauvoo Temple, and here comes her uncle Reuben. This is her mama's brother. He's up from Kirtland, hence he's the one that introduces her to Gilbert. A little bit later, but Reuben comes up and he goes with Joseph over to the Nauvoo Temple. And Joseph right then decides to just dedicate the baptismal font. And he says, "Reuben, let's have you be the very first one." So he baptizes Reuben 6 times in the Nauvoo Temple as the first person to do baptisms for the dead. And then they go in his carriage home. And where is he staying? Well, at Adeline's house with Mommy and Daddy, which is the sister. And there, Joseph puts his cloak around Reuben and drives him home. What would they be talking about? They're going to be talking about baptisms for the dead and life after this existence is over. Why is that important? Because she's a little girl, about 10 years old, and she loses a baby, and she loses a cousin on the trip. That she puts her in her little wedding dress and buries her on her cousin as she goes on her trip to the West. So, we find out that these experiences that she had, is it 15 minutes? Okay, we're done. So you can see that as you hail from some of these Adeline Gilbert's children. Who is Gilbert Rozell? Well, he's named after the daddy and the grandfather. Who is Mary? One last quick question. Mary is a woman who was in the Martin Hancock Company, and as she comes in, Adeline is asked to help her, and she puts her hands in water that are frozen up to her elbows to thaws them, and finds out that Mary is an obstetrician person. And later on, she learns a lot about being an obstetrician from this Mary, has another little girl, and names her Mary after the Martin Hancock person, who is Vincent Knight Belknap. He's, of course, after her, Adeline's father, who is Hiram and Joseph, who I descend from. It's their great love that they had for the prophet Joseph Smith, and Hiram is why they chose those names. So I have a lot of information about Adeline, and I'm happy to share that with you during lunch if you'd like more information.
Thank you, Irene. We'll now have the life of Henrietta McBride Belknap by Audrey Hobson.
I feel it really an honor to give this biography of great-grandmother Henrietta McBride Belknap. She was born September 1st. In 1821 in Livingston, New York. And she's the daughter of James McBride and Betsy Mead McBride. They moved to Chautauqua County in Villanova, and that's where they spent her first 3 years. And then, more than that, that was when she was three, they moved there. Okay, you can tell I'm a little nervous, just a little. And so then in 1833, two missionaries came by, Amos Lyman and William Cahoon came to their door, and they were converted to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They were baptized that summer, and then in the fall, Henrietta was baptized. It doesn't say the rest of the family, but that's when she was. She was the oldest of eight children. A sister, Roxina, had died at 4 months old. Her brothers' names were Reuben D., Harlan, George, James, Oliver, Stephen, and Nathaniel. Nathaniel was born 5 months after his father passed away. The spring of it seems like they always talk about spring and fall, and you know that's how they have described it. But in 1837, they moved to Ohio with the main body of saints, and they struggled to make a living, but they wanted so much to come to Zion that was their focus, and they kept pursuing that. 1838, they had more persecution, so they moved to Missouri, where the violence became worse. And during the winter of 1838-39, they found a temporary home in Pike County, Illinois. And in 1839, that's when her father became ill in the spring. And he passed away in August, actually, 171 years ago, yesterday, at the age of 37. How young. Then, of course, Nathaniel was born in January, 1840. And in the spring of 1841, the seven children moved with their mother to Iowa, located on the west side of the Mississippi River. In 1845, the family was preparing to go west, and Reuben had become dissatisfied with the church, and so he left them and went to Missouri to live. They lost track of him after a time, and they really didn't hear from him again. The family camped near Nauvoo until the spring of 1846, then immigrated west with the saints. Her brother George remained behind as a cook on the river steamer. 30 miles from Council Bluffs, a messenger from Brigham Young brought the news that the U.S. Army needed 500 men to enlist in the battalion and be ready to march in 3 days. So Hart enlisted, and he left the family and went, and they went on by themselves. Now there's Betsy, the mother of Nehemia, Jane, 16, Oliver, 12, and Nathaniel, 6. They settled in a place called Davis Camp, 3 miles north of what was later called, named Cane's Hill. By the 1st of December, their provisions were almost gone, and the nearest place to get them was 75 miles away. But they had no money. That was one of the things. So James and Oliver hitched up 2 yoke oxen and started for Missouri. The weather was very cold, and they stopped in a place called Iris Grove, where they worked, and in 2 weeks earned a load of corn and returned in safety. The following year, they planted a nice crop of corn and were able to raise enough money for the year's worth of provisions. 1846, her brother George came west, Mary went to Salt Lake. 2 years later, Oliver left and went to Salt Lake. And Henrietta, now 27, James, 18, and Nathaniel, 8, Betsy would be 46 years. They remained at Council Bluffs until 1851, then started for the valley with 1 yoke of oxen and 2 cows. But 150 miles out, their cattle stampeded, and they lost an oxen, and their oxen, and 1 cow. Another man had lost part of his oxen, and so the McBrides hitched their cows with his oxen, left their wagon behind, and eventually reached Salt Lake City in 1851. They settled in Farmington. Henrietta helped her mother weave cloth and made clothes for her brother, her mother and her brothers and herself. She was now 30 years old. And here is where she met and married Gilbert Villeneuve. Very important. On June 26, 1852. And it's my understanding that they were both sealed to him at that date in the endowment house. Their first child, William, was born in 1853 in Ogden, and then Oliver was born in 1855 in Springville, because Henrietta would go visit her mother while Gilbert was on the mission, the Salmon River mission. And also, her brothers George and James McBride served in that same mission, but George was killed by the Indians while serving there. Then my grandfather, Francis Marion, was born in 1857, and Isadora Isella was born 3 years later in 1860. They lived at one time at the 26th and Grant in Ogden. But in about 1864, Henrietta and the 4 children were moved to Huntsville, not very far away here. And they needed to homestead some land to care for the land and the sheep. So their log cabin had only the skins of animals and cloths for the door and the windows. So it was pretty humble, and their winters were very cold. And it says that William had Indian boys for playmates. The winters were harsh, again, and my grandfather Marion states that he was carried across to the school by Mr. Allen, and I know there's a lot of Allens that live there, and he was carried across so he wouldn't get his feet frozen or cold, so cold. My Uncle John has, in his history, he writes this. They then were moved to Hooper, and they spent the remainder of the winter in a wagon box. which was set in the ground among the sagebrush. And there was plenty of sagebrush. That was desertous. It contained their bed, their clothing, and meager supplies. Sometimes the snow was more than 1 foot deep. But that snow came in handy because they melted that for their water. And there was also a spring, a distant spring that they were able to get water from. They had to go to bed to keep warm. The bread was baked in a bake kettle. Sometimes in the night, Isadora was quite ill, and they had no artificial light. So under these conditions, they didn't even have a candle, and so under these conditions, it was pretty intense at times, I'm sure. She spent the remainder of the winter there, and then Henrietta's first house was a log room with a lean on the back. And in this log house is where she began her first school. And here is how Electa Miles Simpson described this. There was a bed and a cook stove in the room. The bed was taken down in the daytime and the benches placed around the room for the school. The benches were slabs and set on small sawhorses. Electa slept on the floor because she was living with her to pay for her instruction. And she would set up the benches while Henrietta prepared the breakfast. She placed quilts on the slab to make them more comfortable. Henrietta had a little blackboard that she wrote on, and she made a sundial and put it in the sun so she was able to tell the time and teach the children at the same time. She later taught in the Mitchell home close by, and she didn't have to move the benches then. But they sat on wheat sacks or anything, besides they had some benches that they had made. Then she was located in her second home, which is located at 5882 West and 5100 South there in Hooper. It's a half mile north from the main middle section of the Hooper, where the schoolhouse is located. And this house later was used by Frances Marion and then his wife Lilith Savina, my grandmother and grandfather, and then eventually my father and mother lived there, and I lived there for quite a few years too. It is now owned by my sister's son, Bill Hunter. The children that Henrietta taught brought fruit and vegetables and different foods to pay for their instruction. And they had very few books, and a slate and a pencil were necessary parts. She would write on the slate the words, and the young children would trace over those words, while the other children would stand and read. So I imagine it was a little hard to keep concentration at times. She told stories of the Bible, Pioneer, and other stories. An account written by May Parker Belknap tells this story. Oliver's wife, Margaret Ann Manning, she died and left 6 children. And she felt so sad for him, and that she took Wilford, the 3-year-old, and took care of him. She was 73 years of age at that time. And then as he grew older, she would start on a little journey to visit her neighbors, and she would take a stool, and they would stop. When they'd get tired, they would stop and sit on the stool and go on. And they would walk maybe 1.5 to 2 miles. It was told that she used to have hot corn bread and molasses to eat, and so the boys, when they'd stop from school, come home from school, they would go by and have some of this to eat. Let's go. really, really good. In the summer of 1897, now she's 76 years old, she went with her son Oliver to Moreland, Idaho, and they arrived in July 13, 1897. The little girl had stayed with her grandmother, and but there were the five of them. Yes, and I'm almost through. And in the fall of 1898, her health failed and she moved back to Hooper and lived with Isadora. Her outstanding qualities were love of God, fellow man, and country. And this came through her extensive study of the scriptures and her devotion to the church. I have put together this, but it came, this front picture, this was the first schoolhouse that she taught in, and this explains it, a lot of it. I put together that, I have them, her handouts over there, and this picture was taken from this early school buildings from the Weber County School District. Also, it has Huntsville, and I put a little cabin there, that inside there. I've asked my sister to come and sing just a little bit, one verse of a song with me, and she came clear from her reunion up in Sherwood Hills. So she's made the effort, so I need to sing this. Sorry. Just one verse. We're singing one verse of my father's song called Memories of Mother because it just fits so much. He wrote it for his mother, little Simina, but it fits our great grandmother, Henrietta. My sister Iola. She found